As I said in the monologue today, the Liberals are doing it completely backwards. They started with the stick by destroying the financial viability of the remaining mainstream media through their attacks on Meta and Google, their shakedown, basically. And now they're coming in with the stick of a code of conduct for journalists if those journalists want a piece of the remaining shakedown money from Google. So joining me now is actually the boss, Ezra Levant, to discuss what this means for independent media, but also for mainstream media, because they're the ones really struggling with this.
Yeah, well, thanks very much, Sheila, and thanks for covering the show for me. To be very candid, we don't yet know what this code of conduct means because they haven't written it. They haven't said who's going to write it. They haven't said whether it's going to be mandatory or not. They just said it's coming. But I think we can assume the worst based on their conduct under Justin Trudeau's 8-year regime. These are the people who, for example, nationalized the election debates and then banned Rebel News. And in the first instance, they banned True North and they banned Kian Beck's New Counter Signal. So they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt in terms of freedom of speech. They banned us from election debates. They banned us from the press galleries. They prosecuted the Libranos, my best-selling book, claiming that it was an election ad, even though 23 other books were published about Trudeau during the exact same time. They were just pro-Trudeau. So those are three proof points that this Trudeau government uses regulation to silence the voices they hate. And so I can predict right now, without any more information other than knowing they're just going to do it, I can predict right now that they will craft their code of conduct specifically in a way to try to silence Rebel News. Maybe they're going to go after some other independent journalists too. But, I didn't even mention the other thing, the QCJO, Qualified Canadian Journalism Organization. That's their news license that they banned Rebel News from as well. So that's four things they've done to attack Rebel News using the law, because they don't seem to be able to persuade people not to follow Rebel News or persuade people that we're wrong. So they're using the law. And you make a good point, which is if this were happening 20 or 30 years ago, there would be a complete unanimity amongst publishers and broadcasters that this is a terrible idea. And I remember studying how the press would fight for free speech when I was in law school. And typically they would set up something they would call it a consortium. They would ask every newspaper or every broadcaster to chip in $1,000, and they would hire one top gun civil liberties lawyer who would go to court and say, "Your Honor, I'm here representing basically the entire industry. I'm representing 10 newspapers and 5 TV and radio stations. And here is what we're really worried about for free speech." And the courts would really listen, actually, to those lawyers because they knew that this represented, these were the people for free speech. When was the last time the Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail, the National Post, the Toronto Sun, CBC, CTV, Global News, etc., went to court for free speech? I can't remember it. When was it? But forget going to court. That takes money and initiative. When was the time they even spoke out against it? And so what we're going to see, Sheila, I predict, is a code of conduct that it gives them enough wiggle room that they can basically ban anyone they want. I know how they're going to come at us. They're going to say, "Oh, Rebel News, you advocate for things too much." Oh, really? Do we advocate for COVID vaccines? Do we advocate for the theory of man-made global warming and net zero? Do we advocate for bans on firearms? Do we advocate for all of these things that the Toronto Star and the CBC advocate for every single day? So what I'm saying is they're gonna try and differentiate us on a principled basis. They're gonna try and craft this code of conduct in a way that blocks us. But they're not going to be able to. And the reason I know that, Sheila, is because that's what they tried in 2021 to keep us out of the leaders' debates. They had this very lengthy rule book. And we went to the judge and said, "Judge, they can't stop us claiming we are too opinionated, but let the Toronto Star in. but let the CBC in. And the judge agreed, but they're going to do it anyways. And they're going to force us to go to court, and they're going to, and we're going to have no allies. But that's our role these days. I tell you, 50% of what we do is journalism, but 50% is fighting for the freedom to do journalism. It's upside down times. It's very sad.
Yeah. And the liberals are doing something very crafty and very cagey and doing their best to keep their hands clean. They're offloading this, like they did with Bill C-11, onto the CRTC. So they're saying, oh, it's not us that's coming up with this stuff. It's the CRTC. They're an arm's length bureaucracy. But as conservative Senator Pamela Wallin, a former journalist herself, points out, that she is fully aware that there's almost daily contact between the leadership and the CRTC and directly into the prime minister's office. So this isn't just some bureaucrats and tall foreheads in a corner office coming up with this stuff. This is censorship coming directly out of the prime minister's office.
Oh, exactly. I mean, and it was the same way with the Election Debates Commission. Trudeau static with his buddies. The crooked Xi Jinping ally, David Johnston, ran the thing. He's personal family friends with Trudeau. He also appointed Craig Kielberger, the crooked wee charity guy. So Trudeau stuffs these boards and commissions with his personal friends, like literally personal family friends. They get paid huge commissions and salaries to do it. And they know that their job is, on the media side, kill rebel news. And I don't know what they'll do to Western Standard and Counter Signal and True North. They'll probably try and rough them up also. But it really is an attack on rebel news. They really have a vendetta towards us.
The only reason that I'm allowed to ask you this question is because today the federal court ruled that the government doesn't have the right to determine who is or is not a journalist. This is the second election in a row that the court had to overturn your government. Do you still insist on being able to make that decision, and why?
First of all, questions around accreditation were handled by the Press Gallery and the consortium of networks who have strong perspectives on quality journalism and the important information that is shared with Canadians. The reality is organizations like yours that continue to spread misinformation and disinformation on the science around vaccines, around how we're going to actually get through this pandemic and be there for each other and keep our kids safe, is part of why we're seeing such unfortunate anger and lack of understanding of basic science. And quite frankly, your, I won't call it a media organization, your group of individuals need to take accountability for some of the polarization that we're seeing in this country. And I think Canadians are cluing into the fact that there is a really important decision we take about the kind of country we want to see. And I salute all extraordinary, hardworking journalists that put science and facts at the heart of what they do and ask me tough questions every day, but make sure that they are educating and informing Canadians from a broad range of perspectives, which is the last thing that you guys do.
So, I mean, look, what's so disappointing, I mean, Trudeau is going to be Trudeau. He operates through bribes. He does so personally. I mean, he personally operates through bribes, and I think he understands that his tribe works on bribes. So they, like you say, carrot and stick. They have hundreds of millions of dollars in bailout money for their friends in the media. They have sticks and bats for their enemies. But where are the so-called watchdogs? Where is the Canadian Association of Journalists? Where is the Canadian Journalists for Free Expression? That's a lobby group. Where is PEN Canada? Where is the Canadian Civil Liberties Association? Where is Amnesty International? These all used to stand up for freedom of speech, but in the press, but they're silent. And I think it's because their members are completely on the take. I used to be a little bit involved with the Canadian Association of Journalists. And they've completely transformed themselves into a money-grubbing lobbying machine. They're very active, Sheila. just they don't care about freedom of the press. They care about extracting, wringing out maximum taxpayer benefit from Trudeau. So of course they're not going to bite the hand that feeds. It's really a sad thing to see. And I think you're going to see more and more scoops being broken by the New York Post and the Daily Mail of London. And the reason I say that is because pretty much every single Canadian journalist is compromised. And I'm not saying that they all go out. I mean, there's some good journalism in this country. I won't deny it. But pretty much anything that really hits too hard will be blocked by a senior editor who says, oh, yeah, no, we'll take a different approach. It's not even, I mean, there are still some journalists who are hardworking, honest journalists, but most of the blocking will come at a senior level where a publisher and editor says, we're just not going to risk it. And so, I mean, think back a couple elections ago when it was revealed that all the blackface photos were revealed. Who revealed that? That was a whistleblower in Vancouver who shopped this around. The CBC, CTV and Global already had it. Mm-hmm. They already had it, but they didn't publish it. So he went to a major U.S. magazine. How pitiful is that, that we have to go outside our own country to get someone who cares? But the reason for that was CBC, Global, CTV, they don't want to bite the hand that feeds. So we're lucky in that the hand that feeds us is our crowdfunder supporters, average gift, $58. If our average gift was 58,000 or 58 million, because we were taking it from Trudeau, it would be very difficult for us to criticize Trudeau. That's why we don't want to take Trudeau's money, not that it would ever be offered, but we can't. How could a human being criticize someone who's paying their bills? It makes no sense.